A little gift. How many know Emily's a photographer? She has her own little business that she started, and she's doing good. She's just absolutely fantastic. So I just want to present a gift to Emily. I'm hoping this is something you can use. Here you are. Oh, look at that. Camera. Yeah. Show everybody your camera. Is that something you can use?
No.
Why not? Why not? It's a nice camera. What's wrong?
It's broken.
What do you mean? It's broken?
Look at it.
So you're saying you can't use it?
No, I mean, I appreciate it, but I can't use this. It's broken.
All right. All right, then. That's the problem with using an illustration like that. Somebody's going to say it's the thought that counts. How many would like this gift? Be honest. It is a thought that counts, but how many would like... Anyone want it? Can anyone use this? Why not? It's broken. Can't use it. It's broken. So what do we do when things are broken? Can't use it? Throw it away. Get rid of it, right? Not a very good gift, was it? Huh? Come on now. Don't be nice. Be honest. It wasn't a very good gift, was it?
No.
It's a worthless, broken camera. Now, how many people like broken stuff? Nobody. We don't like broken stuff. We think it's worthless. It's good for nothing, but I know someone that does like broken stuff, and that's God. God loves broken stuff. He specializes in using broken things, especially people. Amen? Who knows what John, what God can do with your friend John?
Amen.
I've seen it. But the world, opposite of God, the world would just like to throw the broken people away. You know, and I'd mentioned the homeless when I was praying. And that's one thing that's going on in Frederick. They take a census to see how many homeless people there are. That's where we minister to homeless people. They take a census to see how many homeless people there are. They get money from the government, and then they run them out. There's several camps that we go to minister that have been bulldozed down. Because they're broken. They don't look good in the city. So we need to throw them away. All right? But that's what the world does. We just think broken people. We want to put them away. We're embarrassed by them. We don't want to be around them. We feel that they're worthless and there's no hope. And some have you ever felt broken? Come on, anybody been there? Yeah. Yeah. This sermon is for you. I know what that feels like. I know what it feels like to be broken, to feel like there is absolutely no hope. You know? And to think about suicide. Because that's what broken people do. Because the world makes them feel like they're broken and they're good for nothing. They feel like there's no way out. You know, many people raised their hand this morning and said, you've been there, you felt broken. Maybe you weren't broken to the point where you were thinking about suicide. But it's still a hard way to live, feeling like you're broken. Anyone ever felt useless? Useless? Yeah, a lot. How about... You ever been picked last for kickball? Come on. I was. Yeah, that's no fun, is it? What are they saying? Oh, we don't want him. We're not him. Don't pick him. Don't pick him, and you end up being the last one. That'll build up a kid's self-esteem. And that goes all the way through life when people, they don't like broken people. Oh, don't pick him. Don't get that guy. Don't get that. You know, don't get that lady. Nobody wants you on their team. And many people said they know what it's like to feel that. But God wants you on His team.
Amen. Amen.
In fact, the world says you're to be the last one picked. God picks you first.
Amen.
What? How does that work? What are you thinking? What are you thinking, God? Not him, not her. The Bible is full of examples of utterly broken and damaged people that He used for His glory. Thank you, Lord. It's quite a team that God has lined up. Only the best and the brightest, only those with the best Most outstanding resumes. Right? Grew up in a good home. Good grades. College degree. That's who God uses, right? Those, oh no. No, he doesn't. Perfect saints. Right? That's who God uses. Perfect saints. But if we're not careful, we look at someone that God is using and we think, oh, they must be special. You know what's special about them? Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus. And a willingness to do what God wants him to do and to be used by him. It's not our abilities. Amen. So God has quite a team. And throughout Scripture you can see that God does tend to choose the underdog. Say amen, underdogs.
Amen.
The underachievers. Those who are not in the in crowd. And sometimes he chooses the least likely to succeed. Anyone have your picture in a yearbook that said that? The least likely to succeed? I think I got most likely to land in jail or something like that. No, I'm just kidding. I probably should have, though. But let's look at these perfect saints that God uses. These are men that almost everyone, even people in the world, know these names. Now say amen if you ever heard of these. Moses?
Amen.
Ever heard of him? David?
Yeah.
Peter?
Yeah.
Paul? You've heard of those guys. Did they do mighty things for the kingdom of God? Well, let's look at their resumes. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Wow. Peter was impatient. They say he was even foul-mouthed. He'd you know, snap and say, how many ever say things and you wish you could take it back? Like putting toothpaste back in the tube. You can't do it. But yeah, I mean, that's me. Yeah, whoops. How'd that come out? You can't stop it once it's out. Amen? Paul was mean. He was a zealot. Paul persecuted the church and saw to it that people who were Christians in the early church were arrested and stood by and killed and stood by while they stoned them. Do you think anyone would sit back saying, you know, God could really use him? All right, we're going to look at Moses this morning. I mean, you've heard of him, right? Moses was a killer. Moses was an outlaw. Moses was on the lam. Anybody know what that means? It means when you're hiding out from the police. He was on the lam. But that's the position that he was in when God called him.
Amen.
Isn't that interesting? He went far away to avoid the consequences for his actions. He didn't want to be caught by the Egyptian FBI for killing that man. Yes, Moses. You know, we think of great Moses. Everybody knows his name. You know, Charlton Heston did a movie. And they didn't really show Moses as a broken man. But Moses was a broken man, 80 years old. Hiding out, despondent, demoralized, watching sheep in the desert. Moses was highly educated. That wasn't doing him any good, was it? Now he's watching sheep. He was raised in the house of Pharaoh, and yet now he was alone, watching sheep in the desert, an utterly broken man, no doubt feeling useless and hopeless. I can see old Mo now, sitting around the campfire, singing the blues. No, that was David. David was the blues singer and writer. But seriously, no doubt Moses was at a low point in his life. Then something happened. There was a burning bush. But it wasn't being burned up. This caught Moses' attention. Wouldn't it catch ours? He watched it, and as he watched it, he heard a voice. Moses! That's what God sounds like, because I've seen it in the movies. Moses! Exodus 3, 1 through 4a. Listen, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. I like that. I want to go to the mountain of God. Doesn't that sound good? And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Now, let me put that in my version, the modern English version. I'm going to go check that out. What's going on here? This bush is burning up. I'm going to go check this out. It's burning, but it's not burning up. I mean, so the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to look. In other words, he had his attention. Yeah, and this is after he called him, you know, and he had his attention. And then God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. You think Moses was expecting that? No, he was alone in the desert again, probably feeling dejected and worthless, sitting there watching sheep, middle of nowhere, on the lamb, hiding out. He wasn't even seeking God. That's my story. When Jesus got a hold of me, I wasn't seeking Him. But He came and got me. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So Moses, he wasn't even seeking God. When God appears to him and speaks to him, he wasn't praying for God to show him His calling. And again, nothing wrong with that. We should. We should pray and ask God what He wants us to do. And that's really the gist of this message. But broken people usually don't do that because they don't feel that God could ever use them. Broken people don't pray, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because broken people are thinking, I can't do anything. I couldn't do anything for the Lord. I'm worthless. I'm good for nothing. I have no talents. They don't think that God could ever use them. But when he least expected it, God called him. Hallelujah. Now, here's the key. Moses' response. That's the key. And that is a good lesson for us. Verse 4b, you know, God calls him. What does Moses do? Here I am. Yes. Here I am. God called and Moses answered. That's what happened to me. God called and I answered. And he delivered me from alcohol and drugs and all of that. Amen. Then God introduced himself. So Moses didn't really know God. Not really. He grew up from a baby on up in the house of Pharaoh. And that's why Moses says, you know, who are you? Who should I say sent me? Still in Exodus chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Then he said, God said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, here's the introduction, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. How many have had a similar experience? Oh, yes, when God touches you and you know it's Him, what a wonderful thing. God goes on in verses 7 through 9, telling Moses that He has heard the cry of the Israelites in their oppression under Pharaoh, and that God is going to deliver them. Okay, so Moses is probably thinking, yeah, that's great. Go for it, God. I've seen their oppression. That'd be great if you delivered them. Go do it. Then God says in verse 10, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God said, and go back here a little bit to verse 8, So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. So it was God's work that was going to be done. Amen? But how does God choose to do it? By using people, by Moses in particular, by using people, what kind of people?
Broken
people. So he said, I have come down to deliver them. God said that. I'm going to do it. I have come down, but I'm sending you. Amen. Broken man. An imperfect man. A man who has committed sin. And God says, you are my choice. Wow. What does Moses say? Verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Broken people answer that way. And not just people that are severely damaged. But people answer that way. Who am I? I can't do it. Who am I? I'm not qualified. Who am I? I'm not worthy. I'm not perfect enough. I can barely keep things together in my everyday life, and you are choosing me, God, to do this great thing? I think you've got the wrong guy. Anybody ever say that? Yeah? I think you got the wrong guy. Wait a minute. God never makes any mistakes. Shall. God gives Moses the answer, and that also applies for us in our work for the Lord. See, this sermon isn't about Moses. It's about us. Okay? And listen what God says. Moses says, who am I? I'm not worthy. I can't do it. Who am I? Who am I? And God says, I will certainly be with you.
Hallelujah.
Wow. I will certainly be with you. We need to remember that if God calls you to do something, and I believe He calls everyone to do something.
Amen.
Everyone. Everyone. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your life's been. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. God has called us to do His work. We are His people. And He chooses to do His work through us. Amen? To be His hands and feet here on earth. We need to remember that if God calls you to do it, He is going to give you what you need to do it.
Amen.
He is going to be with you. Amen? Verse 13, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they say to me, what is His name? What shall I say to Him? So God tells Moses everything that He is going to do. Everything God tells him what God is going to do to deliver the people. But Moses replies with another common reply of broken people. Well, what if they don't believe me? Well, what if they this? And what if they don't? What if they that? He's already forgetting that God said, I will certainly be with you. Then Moses answered and said, chapter 4, verse 1, But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. See? Instead of just doing what God told him to do, realizing that God will be with him, he's making up all kind of excuses on why he can't do it. What if they don't believe me? What if they don't believe I was talking to God? What if this? What if that? What if they don't believe me? What if they don't believe that God could use me? What if they don't believe that I have had an experience with God? A lot of people go through that when they're thinking about witnessing. We're afraid to tell people about Jesus because we say, what if they don't believe me? So what? You're still sowing seeds of the Word. What if they don't think that I'm really a Christian or that I really know anything about God or that I really know the way to salvation? So what? We are called to give them the good news. We are not responsible for saving them. We are not responsible for convicting them. We are not responsible for making them believe it. We are responsible for telling them the Word. Showing them the way, whether they reject it or accept it.
Amen.
And I think Moses was still forgetting the I will certainly be with you part. And that's kind of what we do. I can't do it, we say. Forgetting that God has promised, not just Moses, but you and I will be with you. Sound familiar?
Over.
Even to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
Doesn't stop. That's important. It didn't stop with the Apostolic Church, the Book of Acts Church. It didn't stop with that. Jesus said, I will be with you. Lo, I am with you always.
Amen.
Even to the end of the earth. How many are here on earth today? So it's, like one third. Anybody else need to be delivered from drugs or anything? If you think you're not on earth. They're still here, amen? Not a news flash. They're still here. You drove your car on it getting here. The church sits on it, and all these people are here on it. But that's what we say. I can't do it. God, I can't do it, God. And we forget His promise. So God shows Moses. Moses says, I can't do it. God shows him His power. How many have seen God's power?
Amen.
By turning His staff into a snake. Tells Moses, throw it down the ground. Turns into a snake. Wow. All right? And then he tells Moses, runs away. I like that. He threw it on there, and then when Moses saw the snake, he ran away. Anybody else run away from snakes? And then God tells him, go grab him by the tail. Woo! Anybody signing up for that? What's he do? He does it. He picks it up by the tail. What happened? Turns back into a staff. Wow! That's the power of God working through Moses. God told Moses what to do. He did it. God's the one that turned that thing into a snake. Right? And he was showing, I have power, and I will work my power through who? Through Moses and through us. So what are these? And then he tells them, God's giving them a little extra. I may need a little extra from God sometime. I need 57 confirmations, God. Right? And he tells Moses, reach your hand into your cloak and pull it out. He pulls it out. He's got leprosy all over his hand. And God says, put it back in there. He puts it back in, pulls it out, it's clean. What are these? These are signs. These are miraculous signs from the power of God. Signs. We read this and we think, wow, isn't that something? We look at it like, that's something that happened back in the Bible days. Oh, I like hearing that. Why did God want to use these signs? What was Moses' concern? They're not going to believe me. So what did God do? He gave him, working through him, He gave him the ability to do signs to what? Confirm the word. They won't believe me. Here you go. I bet you they'll pay attention when you throw your rod on the ground, it turns into a snake. Pick it up, it turns back into a staff again or a rod again, right? He did it. God did the signs, not Moses, but He did it through Moses to confirm the word. He even tells Moses, if they don't believe after the first time, maybe they'll believe after the second, all right? The snake, the leprosy, and if they still don't believe, he says, I will give them a third sign to convince them, which was turning water into blood. Imagine witnessing on the street in Hagerstown, saying, watch this, and having a bottle of water and dumping it out, it turns into blood. Think anybody might pay attention then? God uses signs to confirm His word. And again, maybe you're thinking, that's Old Testament stuff. Or that was for the Book of Acts church. That's not for today. Show me the verse that says that. Yeah, that and this one. Mark 16, 17, 18. And these signs shall follow those who believe.
Amen.
Who? He's talking to the disciples. But he doesn't say, these signs will follow you. He says, these signs will follow those who believe. I preached this a couple months ago. In my name, they will cast out demons. Who? Those who believe. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Again, he didn't say these things will follow you, the disciples. Who was he talking about? Those who believe. How many believe?
Amen.
All right. Mark 16:20. What did they do? And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory.
What signs? Casting out demons, speaking with new tongues, serpents and poison won't hurt them. They lay hands on the sick and they will recover. How many have ever seen someone healed? How many have ever seen that sign?
Amen.
What did that do for your faith? Right? You lay hands on someone who's got cancer. I've seen it. And God heals them. What's that going to do? That's going to confirm the word in that person. And this is God's way. This is God's work. It's not so we can, woo, we got the Holy Spirit, we got this and we got that. It's about God's work and bringing people into the kingdom of heaven. But it's real. People that say it's not for today, and people mock it because there are abuses. There were abuses back in Paul's day. He had to write about it. But that doesn't mean it's not real.
Amen.
It's for today. Why? To confirm His Word. Is it the same message? God sent Moses to tell the children of Israel, I will deliver you. I am with you. Does God say that to people today?
Amen.
Okay, so it's the same message. Is it the same God? Of course, there's only one God. Is He using the same kind of people? Yes, it was so in Moses' day. It was so in the apostles' day. And it is the same in our day. Amen? Let me remind you of a few more. Acts 5, 12 through 14. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. Acts 14, 3. Therefore they stayed a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of His grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Same thing as with Moses. Romans 15, 19. In mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
That was Paul. How? In mighty signs and wonders, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. You're not doing it on your own. You're not trying to come up with a clever slogan. You're not trying to talk somebody into it.
Amen.
You're witnessing, and God promises to be with you, and through signs and wonders, He will confirm the word. That's how people are saved. That's God's work. That's God's way. Amen?
Amen?
Hebrews 2, 3 through 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great of salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. And how did God do this great work? Who did He use? Broken, imperfect people.
Amen.
Broken, imperfect people. But even with all of that, we tend to think that this is for other people. He couldn't use me that way. He couldn't use me to lay hands on the sick and they recover. He couldn't use me to bring a word of knowledge to someone. He couldn't use me to witness. He couldn't use me to preach the gospel. He couldn't use me to be an encouragement. That's what we say. Why not? There is no reason why not. He uses broken, imperfect people who don't think they're able. Who don't think they're able. Because the key is that He uses us regardless of our inabilities. Are you hearing me this morning? Everything we do through Him and through His strength. If it were our own abilities or our own strength or our own talents, what's it amount to? It amounts to nothing. It's not, no one's going to get saved because someone is a good orator. They're going to get saved by the Word. Through the Spirit of God drawing them. Man cannot say, well, you know, I had a crusade over in Africa and 10 million people, or 10,000 people came to the altar. Well, that's all well and good. That's great. But it's not the person. Billy Graham never saved anyone.
Amen.
Billy Graham only preached the Word. Billy Graham said he is nervous every time before he preaches. Billy Graham. Why? Because he's not depending on Billy Graham's talent or Billy Graham's strength. He's depending on the Lord. Because he knows that's where it's at. We dare not depend on our own abilities or talents or whatever. It's not us, it's God. And it's God working through people, imperfect people. Anyone here perfect? I just want to... No? Good. Good. Talking to the... So everybody understands what I mean when I say imperfect, broken people, right? Okay, so God tells Moses everything He's going to do. That He's going to do it through Moses. and that He will be with him, and that He will give him the ability to do great signs and wonders to confirm the word. And Moses says, "Awesome! I'm glad you can use me, Lord. Let's get to it." Nope. Back in Exodus 4, verse 10. Then Moses said to the Lord, okay, all that stuff. Remember all that stuff. God's going to give him the signs and wonders. He's going to be with him. He's going to give him the words. He's going to confirm the word. And Moses says, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither before or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." What do you suppose the Lord was doing right then? "Ah! Moses, did you even hear what I was saying?" But Moses, like many of us, broken people, expresses his self-doubt. Witness? Anyone? Oh, yeah. That he is worried that the people won't believe him, but God promises he'll be with him. And that God will be the one doing the work, and he'll give Moses these abilities and signs and wonders and all that. And what's Moses say? "I'll talk too good." That shouldn't even be a modern version. Have you ever said that? Have you ever said, "I can't do it. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not a good singer. I'm not good at teaching. I'm not good with kids. I can't deal with the nursery. I'm not able to talk to people. I'm not a good cook. I'm not. Anyone ever said that? Yeah. "I'm not. I can't." God reassures Moses yet again. Verse 11. So the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what to say." Enough said, right? How many would go then at that point? Right? No excuses. Enough said. Would that be enough for you? God telling you, "Don't worry about it. I created your mouth. I'll be in your mouth. I'll teach you what to say." No more excuses. No excuses are valid at this point. God has been kind. Amen? God has been gracious and patient with Moses. He has reassured him. He has encouraged him. How many times? Several times. But then Moses says what is no doubt the favorite verse of a lot of people, particularly those who are broken and don't believe that God can use them. Okay, maybe not their favorite scripture, as in, you know, I want to go to the Christian bookstore and get a plaque and hang it on the wall type of favorite scripture, but certainly one scripture that they live by. Okay? I hope this is not your favorite verse. Verse 13. But he said, "Oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send." Let me give you a translation of that. Let me paraphrase that for you. Send someone else! That's your favorite verse? Send someone else! I know the lawn needs mowed. At church, send someone else! Wow, got quiet. We want God to send someone else because we think we cannot do it. There's another reason too, we'll get to that. We think that we're not able. Are you hearing my message this morning?
All right. Oh, yeah.
Some people want God to send someone else just because they don't want to do it. See, it's not always the "I can't do it." It's not always the brokenness. It's not always the low self-esteem. It's not always the doubt. Sometimes it's, "I don't want to. I don't want to do it, God. Send someone else." That's a whole other sermon. I want to assure you today, I'm talking to every person in here. I don't care, again, I don't care your past, I don't care what you've done, I don't care your talents, I don't care how young you are, I don't care how old you are. God wants to use you.
Amen.
And God will use you.
Amen.
Even if you're broken or feel that you are defective in some way. You may have been the last person picked for kickball, or the last person considered for a promotion at your job. Maybe you weren't on the honor roll. Maybe you've made mistakes. Maybe you've messed up your life. I can certainly give you a first-hand account of what that's like. If you would have told me, well, let me just say this first. I'm nothing. I can't do anything except God doing it through me. I've said this many, many times before. I got nothing for you. I have nothing to offer you but what the Holy Spirit gives me to preach. Okay? So I just want you to understand, I'm nothing. Okay? But if you would have told me 25 years ago that God could use me, I would have told you that you're out of your mind. What do you think, Donnie Bell? You and me? What if somebody, you and me, 25 years ago, brother, what if someone would have said, God's going to use you? Yeah, we'd probably crack open another Budweiser, smoke another joint and say, yeah, whatever. If you would have told me that 25 years ago, I would have told you that you're out of your mind. I would have told you that you're nuts because I'd messed up my life. I would have told you that's impossible. No way. I couldn't even stand up in school and give a book report. I could. It's probably hard to believe, I guess, because all I do is talk now and talk too much. But there was no way. Yeah, when I was a little kid, like 3 years old, I would get like a hammer and nails and a little block of wood, and I would just sit for hours and I'd be quiet. I'd never say anything. My mom used to say, she used to come up and rattle my head and make sure I was still alive. Because I was quiet. Can you imagine that? Quiet and calm. You didn't even know I was there. But I would have said, that's impossible. There's no way that God could use a broken, messed up, alcoholic, drug abusing, wasted life person like me. I still feel that way sometimes. I do. God, how can you use me? How could you use me? Anyone else feel that way? Come on, anyone else? Part of the reason for me is that what I was told by both my parents constantly that I was worthless and would never amount to anything. And that sticks with you. So you need to watch how you're talking to your kids and how you're talking to your grandkids, because that sticks with them. That's worse than a beating, because bruises heal. Okay? But that I still deal with that today. Because that was pounded into my brain when I was a kid, when I was growing up. You're worthless, good for nothing. You'll never amount to anything. Okay? So with that, I certainly never entertained the thought that God could or would use me. But to my surprise, I found out that God could use anyone. And I'm living proof. No matter how broken, no matter how messed up, no matter what their abilities, no matter what their lack of abilities, we may not think that our resume is good enough for God, that we don't have the right qualifications, we don't have the right abilities, we don't have the right talents. Are you saved?
Amen.
You're qualified. Because His ways are not our ways. God sees things differently. He sees you differently. He saw me differently than my parents saw me. He saw the broken man. He saw the messed up man. He saw the addicted man. Oh, he saw that. But he saw something else.
Hallelujah. Amen.
He saw someone who he could save and who he could change and that he could work through. Amen? His ways are not our ways. If you feel broken and unqualified this morning, if you feel unworthy this morning, I want to tell you something. That's exactly what He's looking for.
Yes.
How many feel that way? I mean, come on. How many feel, God can never use me. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm too shy. We feel broken. We feel useless. We feel worthless. But God is looking for you. Everyone here, God has something for you to do. And He will do it through you. Doesn't matter. You are exactly what He's looking for. Okay, listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 31. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Okay? These are the head of the class. These are the good grades. These are the talented. These are the people with good jobs. And God uses people like that too. Don't get me wrong. You know, if you've had a good life and things have been pretty smooth for you, and that's great. Okay, I'm not saying God can't use you. Huh?
A few.
See what He's saying? Thank you. For you see your calling, brother, that not many wise according to the flesh. Okay? Not many mighty, not many noble, not many are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of this world, and the things which are despised. God has chosen these. And these things which are not, I'm sorry, and the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us the wisdom from God, and the righteousness and the sanctification and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord.
Amen.
Like I said, I'm nothing. And I don't suppose myself to be any great preacher or anything like that. But I do know God has used me.
Amen.
God has used me to reach others. God did it. I'm nothing. You see what I'm saying? And it's the same with everyone here. Broken or not. When it comes down to it, God gets all the glory.
Yeah.
No one can say, oh, I did this great thing for God and I had great results. Well, they do, don't they? Yeah, you hear them. Oh, I did this and I did that and I did this and I did that. You know, I did this and, you know, 10,000 people came to the Lord. Things like that. You hear it. And there's no glory given to God. There's glory given to a man. There's glory given to His ministry. In the name of His ministry and all that. Not everyone, but I've seen. Have you seen that? Yeah, but God gets all the glory. We can't say, I did something great for God and I had great results because I am so talented, or because I am a great orator, or a singer, or a great teacher. Can God use those talents?
Yes.
Absolutely. He can use those of us who don't have those talents. But He also uses people that do have those talents, because all talents are God-given. Amen?
Amen?
But I'm speaking to broken people who don't feel they're worthy, who don't think they ever could. God gets all the glory because it's all His work. He is working through us and we have no glory in it. None. We are tools in the hands of the Master. Amen? So when it comes down to it, doing something for the kingdom of God, and again, I believe God has something for everyone, we cannot say, I can't. It's invalid. You cannot say, I can't do it. God doesn't want to know if you can. He wants to know if you will. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the call. Amen? When God calls you to something, listen now, there are only two possible responses. I will, or I won't. I will, or I won't. God calls you and asks you to do something. You cannot say, I can't. You can only say, I will. And many times we say, I won't. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it, God. What is your answer? What is your answer to God this morning?
Here am I.
Everyone here, what is your answer to God this morning? I will or I won't? Is it yes, Lord, or send someone else? You know, I'm going to bring it up again, and it's really not funny. It's serious. You know, the thing with mowing the lawn, there's opportunity for people. So, you know, what happens a lot of times is folks that are already doing a lot jump in there. But there's an opportunity for someone, and maybe God's already spoken to you about this morning. Will you say, I will? Or will you say, send someone else? Pastor, you just quoted my next scripture. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. He saw the angels and the glory of God. In the presence of the Lord, he cried out, woe is me! Broken. For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I'm a sinner. And I dwell among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He was broken. He felt unworthy. He was undone. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken from the tongs of the altar, and he touched my mouth with it. And he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. He was broken, but God made him unbroken.
Hallelujah.
He was broken, but God reached out to him and made him unbroken. Look what happens next. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, okay, God fixed him. What's the next thing God says? Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? He said, I can't. I'm a broken man. Unclean lips. From a people of unclean lips. I'm undone. I'm a mess, God, so I can't do it. Is that what he said? No. Here am I. Send me. I'll do it. And then the Lord said, go and tell this people. And I want to tell you, that is as valid for everyone here as it was for Isaiah.
Amen.
You're broken. You come to God. How many know He heals? How many know He delivers? How many are saved?
Yes.
So right after God fixes you, you're no longer broken. I'm no longer broken. Sometimes I still feel, as I shared with you, sometimes I feel that I'm broken. But I have to remember what the Lord did. I'm not broken anymore.
Amen.
And He can use me, and He will use me.
Yes.
Because I was willing to say, here am I, send me. Not the best choice, God, but I'll do it. Right? And then the Lord said, go and tell these people. Tell them what? Tell them the message of God. You know the message of God. You know that Jesus came to save sinners. You know the way of salvation. You know the way to lead people to Jesus. And that goes with, you know, witnessing one-on-one, down to mowing the grass, vacuuming the floor, teaching kids on Wednesday night. It's all part of God's kingdom and the way He works. There are things to do for the kingdom of God. And I believe that God is still saying, and this applies to everyone here that has a pulse. Who has a pulse? About one-third is still paying attention. Who has a pulse? Okay, there are things to do for the kingdom of God, and I believe that God is still saying, who will go for us? Who shall I send? My question for you this morning, will you say, here am I. Send me.
Amen.
Or are you going to say, I won't.
Amen.